It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Experience an indescribable encounter with God through the word preached by Reverend Dr. Peter Saki, a medical doctor by profession, called by God as an end-time apostle and prophet. He has been given the mandate to set captives free and deliver the oppressed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, God's Word by Reverend Dr. Saki.
Holy Father, we are ready for your word. We ask that you open our hearts. Grant us understanding. Receive all the glory for what you are doing and for what you will do. We ask that we shall be doers of your word and be fruitful in every good work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. 40. 40 is, you know, when you're a child and you go to school, you are given pencil and eraser to write with. Because when you write with a pencil and you make a mistake, you take the eraser and you erase it and you write again. But when you get to class 5 or class 4, you are given a pen. In other words, when you're writing with a pen, if you make a mistake, you cancel it, but you can't erase it. And so there are certain points in our lives. When we get to those points, we have to make sure that we are not writing with pencils, but we are writing with pens. Are you here with me? You, when you are younger, you can write with a pencil. You know the eraser is there to clean it. But when you start writing with a pen, you are careful what you write. That is my 40th birthday message. But this afternoon, I want to share with you how to celebrate the gift of God. Celebrating the gift of God. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And we go straight into the Word of God and see what the Word of God has for us. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. I will give you pastors. This is the word of the Lord. God says he will give us pastors after his own heart, who will feed us with knowledge and understanding. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. James chapter 1 verse 17. He says every good and perfect gift comes from God. He said every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. How to celebrate the gift of God. It is very important that we understand how to celebrate the gift of God. We belong to a generation where we don't learn to celebrate the living. We learn to celebrate the dead more than the living. We are part of an army that crucifies our generals when they are alive. We mount their monuments and their statues when they are no more. We speak well of them when they are no more. But when they are alive, we don't value and cherish and celebrate them. We belong to an army where we find it so easy to criticize our generals and the gifts which we have received from God, because we tell ourselves if we don't criticize them and we don't control them, they are going to be proud. In our effort to keep them under control and to make sure that they don't become proud, we end up not appreciating and celebrating the gift of God. Money that is used to appreciate the gift of God is seen in the eyes of people to be too much. But that same money is not enough to be spent on cars, to be spent on personal building projects, or to be spent on church building projects. However, when it is spent on the minister, the gift of God, we see it to be too much. We mount monuments. More money is spent on people when they are no more than when they are alive. When they are no more, we see the advertisement in the newspaper. It takes about 4,000, 3,000 to advertise in the newspaper. We buy their caskets. We choose the caskets, the best among the best, because we want to show off. We celebrate the dead. We pride ourselves. Even when it comes to their burial ground, we want to have categories. We send them to the place where the rich and the renowned are buried. But we fail to celebrate the gift of God when they are alive. Beloved, it is my responsibility to share with God's church how we can celebrate the gift of God. The Bible says every good and every perfect gift comes from God. He says, I will give you pastors after my own heart. He says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors and teachers. God himself gave them. God gave Jesus to the world. Jesus was a gift given to the world. He gave the Holy Ghost to the church. When he gave the Holy Ghost to the church, Jesus said, you have received me. I shed my blood for you. You are part of the church. I have given you my Holy Ghost, my Holy Spirit, but it is not enough. I have some gifts for you. I have some special gifts for you. These gifts will come in the form of men. And so the amplified version of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, he gave men as gifts. He gave men as gifts, flesh and blood as gifts, men who have like passions as gifts. The Bible says, for Elijah was a man who was subject to like passion, but it was a gift to his generation. He gave men as gifts. After giving Jesus to the world, after giving the Holy Ghost to the church, God realized that he needed to give them some gifts. In fact, he also gave the gifts of the Spirit, because when the Holy Ghost comes, he comes with gifts. But God said, it is not enough to have sent Jesus and to have given them the Holy Ghost. I'm now going to give them special gifts. And these gifts will come in the form of flesh and blood. They will come like they find them, subject to like passion. And among these gifts, he gave men as gifts. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. When you find a man of God who has been called to serve God's purpose in his generation, he's a gift. Are you here with me? He's a gift. He's flesh and blood, but he's a gift. He may have challenges, but he's a gift. He may have flaws, but he's a gift. And the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from God. The Bible says no man take this honor unto himself. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. I did not call myself. I did not choose myself. I did not send myself. I heard a voice, who shall I send and who would go for me? And I said, I will go for you. Are you here with me? We must learn to celebrate the gifts of God, especially when they are alive. The Bible says a living dog is better than a dead lion. In other words, a dog which value cannot be compared to a lion. When the lion is dead, the living dog is better than the lion. And so we must learn to celebrate the gifts of God in their lifetime. He says, I will give you pastors after my own heart. An example of a man after God's own heart is David in the Bible. David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible says, after he had served the purpose of God in his generation, he slept with the fathers. But he came to serve the purpose of God in his generation. He was a gift from God. He had his own flaws, but he was a gift. And he was a gift not after the heart of man, but after the heart of God. You know, sometimes men have their own preferences. Men have their own yardsticks. Men have their own characteristics of who a gift or a leader or a pastor should be. When you don't fall into the expectations or the qualifications or the characteristics that men have labeled or laid out for you, they feel you are not a gift of God. But I thank God and I bless God for the Bible, which says David was a man after God's own heart. He had challenges, he had flaws, but he was a man after God's own heart. He served the purpose of God in his generation. He says, I will give you pastors after my own heart. When you find a man who helps you to serve God, helps you to live for God, guides you in the things of God, instructs you in the ways of God, and a man is consistent, he says, serve God, do the work of ministry, leads you in the path of holiness, in the path of righteousness, that man is a gift, and he must be celebrated. When you find a man, or you find a woman, who consistently is pointing you to the pathway that leads to eternity, that man is a gift. He's leading you on the path of eternity. A man who leads you towards God, a man who leads you towards the ministry, a man who leads you towards living a life for God, is a man whom you must value. If you value spiritual things, you will value the people God has given to you, who consistently and constantly encourages you and push you so that you would become spiritual. You would draw closer to God and you shall be godly. The Bible says godliness is profitable unto all things, having the profit which now is and which is to come. Praise God. And I said I'm not going to preach for long because some of these messages have been preached, but we need to hear them from time to time. And I don't have to wait for your uncles who are fellow pastors to come and teach you how to behave. It has to come from the pastor of the house, who is the gift of God. You know, sometimes when you are preaching and you find yourself in the picture, or you find yourself in the category where you are preaching, sometimes you are not careful, you feel uncomfortable because people are wondering, why is he preaching to make himself important? Is he preaching to make himself feel good? But you see, once I'm preaching the Bible and I'm preaching like Jesus, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone who believes, first the Jew and the Gentiles. In him wherein lies the righteousness of God from faith to faith. Are you here with me? So I am preaching Bible. I'm preaching Bible. One day Jesus said, believe in God and believe also in me. So when I come and I say, believe in God, believe in Jesus, believe also in me, I'm preaching like Jesus. Are you here with me? Your mind is full of negative things too much. The negative things are too much. What if he backslides? What if he falls away? What if he changes? He's a man. He can change. What if he doesn't rather change? So your mind is full of too many negative things. You know, but some people started well, but they veered off along the line. They started well. We read about Jim Jones. We read about people who started very well. And so, what if they start very well and then later they veer off? That is why you are there, to pray for him so that he doesn't veer off. It's because your prayers are weak. It's because you don't pray for him. That is why you are afraid. But if you were praying and you believe in your prayers, you know the man of God will walk in the path God has called him to walk in. Number one, how do we celebrate the gift of God? First of all, you must know that they are gifts. A gift is given to you for your benefit, for your enjoyment, for your multiplication, edification. By a prophet, God delivered Israel and he sustained them. So God gives you a gift not to harm you. He gives you a gift not to hurt you. He gives you a gift not to disadvantage you. He gives you a gift to profit you. To profit you. He says, I long to see you, that I would impart some spiritual gift, that at the end you shall be established. God gives us gifts. He gives us apostles. Why should they do? For the perfecting of the saints, so that the saints will do the work of ministry towards building of his body, the church. Then the Bible says, we shall be matured, and henceforth we may not be moved to and fro by every wind of doctrine, and by the slight cunningness of man who lies in wait to strike us. When you have apostles and teachers, when they teach you, and you get involved in the work of ministry, you mature. And when you mature, you cannot be deceived. You will not be moved to and fro. And so God gives us gifts to be a blessing to us. Number one, we must receive them with excitement, with joy. You know, when I'm going to have a program and I invite other ministers of the gospel and my people are more excited than they are, it shows that there's something wrong with the church. Are you here with me? Praise God. You must receive these gifts with excitement. Genuine excitement. It has to come from your heart. Even if it's not coming from your heart, listen, you must act it until you genuinely start behaving that way. Are you here with me? Me, I don't know how to do that. Oh, it's like I'm a hypocrite. Yeah, be a hypocrite. Be happy. Be excited. Clap. Laugh. Okay. Mark chapter 6. And he went out from thence and came into his own country. He went to his own church, his own brethren, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? Is not this the son, the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. They were offended. He said, but we saw you when you were growing up. Like we saw your timeline. We saw your timeline. You had that punk. Your trousers was big on you. We saw him when he was growing up. We saw him. He was a small boy. He was struggling in school. We saw him. He said, we know him. But is this not Kwapo? 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 He used to take his bath outside. He used to take his bath outside. He used to borrow kenke whips. Look at him. Father Evie is in the house. Hey, are you here with me? Yeah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Who? You? From where? We can't receive our own. We struggle to celebrate our own. In this country, there are so talented, gifted men of God, gifted people, even in the secular world, we will not celebrate our own. When people show up with light skin, we are ready to celebrate them. When people show up whose past we don't know anything about, we are ready to celebrate them. But we fail to celebrate our own. We fail to celebrate our own. We fail to celebrate our own. In some churches, when they are even planning to do something for them, they say, oh, but this one is too much. It's too much. We fail to celebrate our own. Some pastors have been driven out of their own churches. Some pastors have been put in single room whilst their members are staying on story building. I'm not saying do something for me. I'm not preaching to collect money from you. I am preaching the Bible. They have pastors. Some of them, they don't have, their pastors don't have cars. And they have 3, 4. They are happy. You are struggling to go to the next level. Why? Because your pastor is walking on foot. He's struggling. You are enjoying. You have 3, 4 cars. You can't give him one. I have cars. I have more than one car. So I'm not asking for your car. But if you think my car is old and you have to change it for me, come on, go ahead and change it for me. Are you here with me? But the pastor, he has a car already. Why are we thinking of changing his car? He's okay. Let's rather continue the third floor. The third floor. They were offended at him. Listen, when you don't receive the gift of God, your anointing dries up. I'm telling you something. If you don't receive the gift of God with your heart and you're not persuaded, the pastor, no matter how anointed he is, he can't help you. He cannot help you. There are some areas, some environments when you go there, you can't preach. There are some faces when you are preaching and you see them. If you are not heavily anointed, your words will be, you'll be mumbling some things. Are you here with me? There are some faces when you see like that, you change your scriptures. Say to the wicked, there shall be no peace for the wicked. Are you here with me? There are some environments when you enter and you know they don't accept you and receive you. Even if you are fasted and prayed, your oil dries up immediately. You understand what I'm saying? You must receive the gift of God with excitement from your heart. If you don't receive as such, you will miss out on a lot of things. A man of God can be anointed, but when he's not received and it's not, people are not excited about him, he cannot do much. And we can see from the Bible. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and his own house. And he could there do no mighty work. Not that he did not do. Their faces. Listen, when we are ministering in the spirit, it's not everybody we minister to. I'll pass. I'll look at your face. I'll find out whether you are ready to receive. Whether you have an expectation. Or you came to see whether he's anointed or not. Close your eyes. Some of you came to see whether he's anointed or not. Some people came generally to receive. Are you here with me? And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid hands upon few sick folk and healed them. He could not do anything. He could not. They did not receive him well. They were not excited about him. So he could not do anything. You come, the people are talking about you. Your church people are gossiping about you. Are you here with me? They are gossiping. They are standing at the back gossiping. They are sitting together. When you say this, he doesn't have new message. This is old message. He preached at 1925. 2005. That was the same message. He said, that's how the guy challenged. The thing be like, he left him. You're not excited. You're not excited. Your pastor, Genesis pastor, Timothy, you're not excited. The pastor is even afraid of some of you. Sometimes you, listen, sometimes you'll be intimidated by some of the people you pastor. You know, sometimes, let me tell you, sometimes the reason why some pastors, they like young people. Akpa, how old are you? I'm 15 years older than him. So when you say, hey, yes, Papa. Yes, Papa. Yes, Papa. Anything you say. Even though some of you are more troublesome than. Are you here with me? But when I come to Pastor Seth. Pastor Seth, how old are you? I'm 35 years. Reverend, I knew you when we were in medical school together. When you had not finished, I was there with you. When you started, we were there. We have seen your struggles. Pastor Seth, I want you to do this. Reverend, 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 Reverend. Are you here with me? Oh, Reverend, we will hear you on this matter another time. So relatively, I can impart more here than I can impart here. Because he feels that, but you are not older than me. If Akpa is going to my, I say, this one, watch this one. Don't go here, don't go there. Akpa will say, yes, sir. I said, listen, whatever woman I'll give to you, take it like that. When I'm counseling him, he will receive it with all his heart. But when I come here and I'm counseling this one, Reverend, Reverend, hey, are you here with me? Some people, I know some of you, Reverend, whatever you give me, then you go and do your own thing. Are you here with me? He could not do no mighty work. But let me give you another example. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Be excited about the gift of God God has given to you. He's not God. He's not to be worshipped, but he's to be celebrated. In other words, you receive him with excitement, with joy, and with gratitude to God who gave him to you. Look at Matthew chapter 8. And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitude followed him. And behold, there came a leper, worshipped him and saying, Lord, if thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand, touched him and saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see, now tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him. His own hometown, they didn't receive him well. They were not excited about him. But he went to Capernaum. In Capernaum, there was a centurion. The centurion was not an ordinary man. The centurion was a commander of soldiers, 100 soldiers. Centurion. Major, is he a platoon leader or which one? Over 100, centurion. In today's time, I don't know what we will say, maybe a captain. In charge of 100 soldiers. And Jesus was coming. This man was a very highly placed man in the society. And Jesus was coming. When Jesus said, I'm coming to your house, he said, my servant, my most favorite servant, is not well. Will you please come and heal him? On his way coming, the centurion said, nah, no. This centurion, you read about Cornelius. Cornelius was a centurion. A centurion had soldiers under him. He had a beautiful place, a mansion with swimming pool. That was how Cornelius, in his house, they baptized him in a swimming pool. A centurion was someone who is among the people in the top brass of the society. And then the centurion said, I am not worthy, O Lord, that you should come into my house, but speak thy word only. For I am a man under authority. I said to this one, go, he goes. I said to this one, come, he comes. And I know you too. You are a man under authority, under heaven's authority. And there are forces that will respond to your commandments. So speak thy word only, and my servant shall be healed. I am not worthy, the Holy Lord. Nada shall come to me. Must make thy word. One gracious word will set the sinner free. Oh, I am not worthy, the Holy Lord. Oh, God, so come to me. Speak that word only. 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 He said, I am not worthy, O Lord. Not that his house was not beautiful. Not that he was not organized. Not that he could not host Jesus. But he saw it more than a privilege. I'm not worthy to have you in my house. I reverence you. I acknowledge you. So just speak your word. One word. And the Bible said, Jesus said, I have not found such a great faith. Verse 10. I have not said, Jesus heard it. He marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. Now look at the subsequent scriptures. Jesus said, I have not found such a great faith in Israel. The man was not familiar. The man had reverence for Jesus. He said, speak that word only. Jesus said, I went to my own hometown. I could there do no miracle. They have known me for far too long. They were here when Zion began. They were there when Genesis began. They were there when Atimata began. They have seen so many. They have heard too many news. It has affected their faith. I could do no miracles. Now here I meet a centurion who said, I am not worthy. Jesus said, this man has great faith. He has great persuasion. He has great confidence in me. He has great expectation in me. Immediately, even from a distance, the anointing worked for the centurion. The anointing you don't respect cannot work for you. The anointing you don't respect cannot change your life. The anointing you don't receive and respect cannot impact your life. And when you reject that anointing, you have rejected the one who sent him. He said, he who sent me is with me, and he who receives me, he has received the one who has sent me. The anointing you don't respect cannot help you. That is why you can be in a church, your life will not be transformed. It's not because the pastor has a problem. Your heart is not right. You are like Gehazi. The anointing you don't respect cannot work for you. Are you here with me? The anointing you don't respect cannot work for you. Cannot work for you. That's why people can be with Jesus for long. Nothing will happen to them because they have become too familiar. But the centurion says, speak your word only. Even from a distance. Even from a distance. In other words, there are places even proximity will not work. Proximity will not work. No, if your heart is not good, no matter how proximal you are to the minister of God, you cannot be transformed. You know, it is easy to impress people from a distance. But to influence people, you must get close to them. Unfortunately, some people, when they get close, they become familiar, they are not persuaded, and they reject and despise that anointing. Am I preaching Bible? You know, you're so dull. You don't want to receive. You don't want to receive. Promise, you don't want to receive. You don't want to receive. Oh, Papa. Papa. They will say Papa and go and do their own thing. Are you here with me? You know, let me tell you, some of you who have been with Reverend for long, be careful, because if you are not careful, you will take things for granted. You will take things for granted. And you will not be blessed. Reverend can give you counsel. He can pray for you. He can help you. But you have been so close that you have become familiar. And other people will come and then they will be giving testimonies. They will be receiving. They will be receiving the counsel. And Reverend told me this. Reverend prayed with me. Reverend told me this, this, this. Because you are familiar. I admire pastors who, no matter how close they come, they know how to behave and handle themselves. Because you see, when a man of God is not happy and is bitter, he's not happy, he can't release, he can't impart well. I'm telling you something. When a man of God is not happy, he's not excited, he's not peaceful, he cannot impart well. You know, what did Isaac tell? Isaac told his sons. He said, bring me a venison, the kind which I like, and then I will bless you. In other words, when the man of God, the gift of God, is very peaceful and excited because of something, it is easy for a blessing to be released. And then there was another one called Gehazi, who went behind the man of God. He did what the man of God would not approve of. What did he receive? He provoked a curse. So when you are close to a man of God, you can either provoke a blessing or you can provoke a curse. You know, you don't like this one. I love you very much. I love you so much. And I know the people you love, they hurt you the most. Are you here with me? Do well in life. Excel in life. Prosper in life. Shine in life. Occupy the top in life. In Jesus' name. You know, sometimes I don't need to speak, but my heart is happy with you. You will do well. Sometimes I don't even need to speak. My heart is not happy with you. You will struggle. But may you not struggle in Jesus' name. Mrs. Aki, should I stop preaching? Because some of you don't like it when I'm preaching. You feel that I'm... All right, number two, quickly, please. We must cherish and value the gift of God. 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 3, and then chapter 21, verse 17. Two scriptures. 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 3. But the people answered, thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither if half of us die, will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore, now it is better that you don't go out with us, but stay in the city. Amen. Now, this scripture, I'm going to show you something. Now, read the other one for me. Bring the other one. Chapter 21, verse 17. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. One of the wonderful army of God is the army of David. Two scriptures. The first one, they said, if we go and something happens to us, even half of us, it may not carry weight. Like if something should happen to you, because strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. So your life is so important. We value your life. He said, our lives are not as important as your life. It's not because we are inferior and you are superior, but we respect the move of God. We respect the army of God. And in the army, God has placed a light that will give direction. If you come with us and something happens to you, the light of Israel will be quenched. When God gives us a gift, that gift is like a light. We must value the gift. We must cherish the gift. He says, 10,000 of us compared to your life. And if you come with us and something happens to you, the light of Israel will be quenched. In every move of God, God raises up a man. And the man stands like a light. A light gives direction. A light helps in our vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Visions are not manufactured. Visions are given by God. And God gives a visionary. And the visionary is like a light. The light gives direction. The light guides us. The light shows us where we are going. The gift of God is like a light. The gift of God must be valued, must be cherished, because it is like a light. Strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. Strike the sheep, the shepherd and the other sheep will still be stronger and stronger. They would, even the shepherd will say, I will remove that sheep from your jaws. Even if you don't like it, I'm preaching Bible. You know, some of you have been with me for over 10 years. You know me. You know God. You know the Bible. You have the word of God in your heart. This is not the time for you to say that he will fall, he will backslide, he will veer off. What if he veers off? He's a man. Yes, God uses men. You must value the gift of God. You must cherish the gift of God. You must help preserve his life. You must help preserve his health. You must help preserve his health. Value him. Because it's a gift from God. Look at something else. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 2 to 3. And then we'll read from verse 14 to 19. And then I would add two or three more scriptures. And then, look at this one. And moreover, in time past, even when Saul was king, he was leading out and bringing us in Israel. And the Lord thy God said unto thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be ruler over my people Israel. He said, therefore, came all the elders of Israel to the king to Hebron, and David made a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel according to the word of the Lord. Three things here. What happened? Number one, they respected a prophetic word upon David's life. There is a prophetic word. They respected a prophetic word. Number two, they respected his calling. Number three, they valued the anointing upon his life. They said, look, we know your calling. We know your experience. Even when Saul was alive, you were the one serving. You didn't come from somewhere to work your way into leadership. We have seen you when you were preaching to few people, when you were preaching to people who were less than 50, when you were preaching to less than 100, when you were preaching to less than 200. Now, this is not a time for us to wonder whether you've been trained well, whether you experienced or not. When Saul was alive, we know your records. You were leading us and bringing us in. In other words, you were serving even at a lower rank, and you served faithfully at that lower rank. And even at that time, we remember your exploits. We remember the prophetic word that came upon you, and we are ready to value the prophetic word, value your calling, and respect the anointing upon your life. His wish was their command. His wish was their command. Verse 11 to 14. Moreover, in time past, and this is the number of the mighty men of whom David had. 14 to 19, please. I want us to read few scriptures, and then we will close. And they set themselves in the midst of that parcel, and delivered it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord saved them by a great deliverance. Now three of the 30 captains went down to the rock of David, into the cave of Adullam, and the host of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And David was in the hold, and the Philistine garrison then at Bethlehem. They had created a blockade, And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem that is at the gate. And the three broke through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. But David would not drink of it, but poured it out to the Lord. Now, there was war going on. It was a war between the Israelites and the Philistines. And the Philistines had created a garrison, a barrack. They had come together and they had formed a strong barracks, and they had blocked the place that leads to Bethlehem. And David and his men were in a cave, and it was a distance from where David and his men were to the Bethlehem well. Between them was the Philistines' garrison, soldiers. And David said, I wish I could have water from the wells of Bethlehem. And then the Bible said the three of them risked their lives, went through the garrison, got the water, and brought it to David. In other words, they said, we don't see your wishes as superfluous, unnecessary. We don't see it as superfluous, but we are going to do everything possible to bring you your heart desires. You know, I don't know, but I was there one day when Pastor Ebo just went to town. He bought a certain diary, and then he customized the diary, and then he brought it to me. I didn't ask him, but maybe he feels I would like such a thing. Sometimes you hear your pastor talking about something. You know what he likes. You know something he desires. And then that thing, he's not even told you, go and get it for me. He's not told you, do this for me. By your own initiative, as part of celebrating the gift of God, you just do it. I've heard Reverend said he would want this, he would want that. Even in the church, the instrumentalist should know there's something he loves. He loves a particular song. The choir should know he loves a particular song. The pastors, they should know there are some things he desires. There are some things he likes, a certain environment, atmosphere to minister. And so we are going to do everything possible to create that atmosphere for him to come and minister. It's not like he will come. And all the things we need to do to celebrate the gift of God, they are not really, really complex. They are not complex. You may not be able to buy a car today. Stop saying you one day buy me a car. What can you do right now that will be appreciated? Somebody took a diary and customized it and brought it to the pastor. There are little things we can do. Are you here with me? There are very, very little things you can do. Very little things you can do. Praise God. Very little things. Sometimes you may make inquiries. Sometimes you may ask. Mrs. Sake, what does Reverend like? Is there something? You know, I know you will be billionaires. But at this point, what is the sign that when you become a billionaire, you'll be able to do something? Praise God. Let me close. The people don't like it. Let them come and pop the champagne. Let's dance and go. Last time I was saying, Kwame, sir, you don't buy me a gift. He said, Papa, but I bought you the bread. I said, that bread, you shared it with me. You know, let me tell you something. Listen. Some of you, you know, you feel that now that the challenge a lot of people are going through is that, what can I give to this man? This man is okay. He's doing okay. He's doing well. I am rather disadvantaged. He must always be giving to me. He rather has to give to me. No, it doesn't work like that. You don't give to the man of God because he's hungry, he's broke. You don't give to the pastor because he has needs. You give to him also to show to him that we appreciate you. We celebrate you. Are you here with me? You know, when people die, people go to even borrow money. They borrow cloth. They borrow caskets. Don't. I'm not dying today. I'm not dying tomorrow. I will finish what God has called me to do. By the help of God. Yeah. They pay all those things. They pay all those things. Even if they don't have the money. So in the same way, you don't always have to have plenty before you give. You don't have to. How do we celebrate the gift of God? We must give gifts. Give gifts. Give gifts. Listen. Give gifts, no matter how small. Once you think and you want to celebrate the man, you will give gifts. Provision, rice, yam. Last time I received a goat. Guinea fowl. They can Steve, when he goes to town, then I, Papa, I brought this for you. Papa, sometimes he'll bring pen. He knows, then he'll bring a box of pen. Say, Papa, put it in your office. Anytime you need it, you can have it. Pen. The thought is very much appreciated. Not just the value of the gift. But if I know your ability and you bring me a pen. Are you here with me? No, we will reject the gift. We will reject it. Because I'm talking about pen, I know your ability. Then you also go and bring pen. Praise God. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5, 13. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Give gifts. Let me decide what I will do with the gift. It's not every gift I use. But you bring it with a good heart. Are you here with me? Are you here with me? When you bring the gift, I'll close. Amen. Let me close. No, let me close. 1 Thessalonians 5:13. Let me close. Pastor Folikwe, just come and take over. Let's start from verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Now he said, we beseech you. We beseech you. We plead with you. We implore you. We beg of you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. And they admonish you. They teach and instruct you. And you should esteem them very highly in love. You should esteem them very highly in love. For they are works sake, and be at peace among yourselves. He said, esteem them very highly in love. Highly. Christmas time, birthday, Father's Day, Founder's Day. This is that. You have to make up your mind. Some people will send me credits. Some people will bring votic box. Some people will bring fruit juice. Some people want to make sure that provision will never run out in the house. He said, esteem them highly in love. Esteem them highly. Show your love. Show your love. You are tired. I'll continue another time. Listen, in conclusion, You must learn, listen, you must learn to fight for your pastor. Listen. Now, I'm teaching you something. You must learn to fight for your pastor. I say you must do what? I say you should do what? You say, oh, but pastor, you are teaching us to fight. The Bible says we shouldn't fight. I said, fight for your pastor. Eh? Fight for your pastor. You think if somebody is coming, even though I was an ex-boxer, you think I would want to fight a person? No, I'll say, Sechi. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? Listen, they must see the man of God. Hey, this man of God there, he doesn't like quarrel. He doesn't like fighting. You. All the things I want to do that I can't do, I'll tell you, go and do it. Pastor Nani, are you there? The thing I will say that I know people will not be happy with it, Pastor Folikwe, go and say it. Let me look good. You should look bad. Are you here with me? They should always say that the pastor is a good man. He loves the people. Oh, he doesn't. You, it's me who I'm doing it. I'm just sending him. Are you here with me? Yeah, you have to fight. You have to, in fact, even sometimes you would have to fight physically. I know the message. I know the message is there. Mentor is here. I'll say, Mentor, face him. I have an AD who is there. He's wearing suit. How can you fight in suit like that? Okay, let me give you an example. A wonderful one who fought for his master. Matthew chapter 26, verse 50. Peter was a good assistant. Ah, they were coming to arrest Jesus. He said, you lie, rah. Amen. Deborah, are you there? Is it scripture to fight for your pastor? Eh? Some of you, listen, some of you, it's like medicine in your mouth, bitter. Don't worry. This is the first time probably you are here. Pastor Moses, is it good to fight for your pastor? You don't just fight physically. Sometimes some people will be talking and saying some things about your pastor. And some of you, instead of saying, it's not true, never say certain about my pastor again. You are rather friends with them. You eat with them. We are tired. This message is too new. Pastor Felix, should I stop? You wait for people. Now it says, and behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Listen, you must learn to defend your pastor. When people are criticizing your pastor, you must shut them down. Listen, if you have a relationship with your pastor, fight for him outside. Come and talk to him in his office. Are you here with me? The world knows how to protect their own. The church always crucifies and exposes their own. I say, learn to fight for your pastor. Face people who are disloyal. Face people who divide the church. Face people who bring confusion. Face people who go from place to place gossiping about the church. You should face them. Or I should... You don't like these things. 2 Timothy. But this teaching is new to you. Don't worry. As you keep coming, you will see. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let me close. People should even be afraid to say something about your pastor when you are there. When you are coming, they should shut up. Verse 14 to 16. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou, be careful of him. For he has greatly withstood our words. That's what saying, you know, Paul. He said, in my first answer, no man stood with me, but all of them forsook me. I prayed God that it may not be laid to their charge. In other words, he said, during his first defense, none of his pastors, none of his elders, none of his sons defended him and stood with him. But Alexander the coppersmith did him great harm. And you should know, you should be careful of him. You should be careful of people who come to hurt your pastor. You should be careful of them. Are you here with me? I said you should be careful of people who come to cause your pastor pain. They come and hurt you. You have to defend the pastor. You have to fight them. I said fight them. Be careful of people who want to divide the church. They go around church spoilers. They say bad thing about the pastor. They move from house to house. They eat with people who are fighting the church. They take counsel and they sit down and they chat with people who hate your pastor. They fight your pastor. They insult your pastor. They are your friends. You must rise up and tell them, you can't say this thing in my sight. Are you here with me? Are you here with me? And how can you be blessed when you are moving with someone who is always questioning you about your pastor, about your man of God? It may be your branch pastor, it may be your head pastor. Mark them, that cause division. He said, and have nothing to do with them. It's in the Bible. Amen. In the church, those who don't behave well, I expect my pastors to get up and deal with them so that I'll even be quiet and be watching. Now, I would rather say, boy, sinle, efe enoku, a neighbor. Are you here with me? Oh, yeah. I should see Pastor Folikwe rise up and say, suspend the land. I suspended him. He will sing again. Reverend, it's no more a shepherd. I've suspended him. Then I will say, oh, Pastor, he's begging. Are you here with me? Yeah. I should be the good one, quiet today. I'm the one crying, operating everything. You don't know. Amen. Are you here with me? Are you here with me? Avi knows what I'm saying. He does that to me. I'm finished. Tap it for me. You are greater than us, you are. You walk upon the earth. You raise the dead. You reign in majesty, mighty God. Everything written about you is great. You are 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 great. Everything written about you is great. You are 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 great. Everything about you is great. You are great.
You are great.
You are great.
You are great.
You are great.
You are great.
You are great.
You are great.
Everything about you. You are great.
You are great.
You are
great.
Everything written about you is great.
You are 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 great.
Oh.
Oh, yes, Lord.